Podcast. This is Hannah.
And this is Katie. And we are also
When Kiss Means Forever.
This is the podcast where you talk about all of the favorite things you like to do for your wedding and wedding planning and this, that, and the other, but then also the things that go horribly, horribly wrong because you don't communicate. We're talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds you find on Netflix, Hallmark, Lifetime, and other sorts of places we talk about.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about a Fall Harvest movie from Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
From last year. Last year? It was really only last year? Oh my goodness.
When it happened during the pitfall year, the black hole year.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We're going to be talking about My Best Friend's Bouquet, or as I like to call it, My Best Friend's Bucket.
Or Bouquet.
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 Yes. Bouquet is a funny word, guys.
It's one of those words you look at and it just like loses all meaning when like the more you look at it.
It's weird that we have a word for it in general. Like, it's a grouping of flowers. That you carry. I don't know. Anyway. So this aired initially on October 10th, 2020. And Katie, are you ready for the novel that I'm about to read you from Hallmark Channel?
I'm so ready for this bedtime story.
Oh man, it's long. Okay. Josie Hughes is a hopeless romantic who believes in the kind of romance in black and white movies where the leading lady finds her one true love and gets swept off her feet. She also believes the wedding bouquet always finds its way to the right person when tossed by the bride, as proven time and again at weddings dating back to her childhood. But single Josie ends up with the bouquet at her friend Emma's wedding instead of their not-so-single friend Athena, and fears she's wrecked her chances of getting engaged. Athena's chances, she means. But when Josie begins dating eligible bachelor Will, after meeting at the reception, she decides the bouquet is responsible for the budding romance and begins to think that Will is the one. As Josie clings to the notion that the bouquet is always right, she's missing the real-world signs that her perfect match is someone else who's been right in front of her all along. Now, I just need to point out, the male lead of this movie is not mentioned until this synopsis.
He's inferred at the very last at the very last moment. But yes.
And this movie stars, is her name pronounced Shally?
I would Shaley? Say Shaley, but Shaley? I don't really know.
I think you're right. I think it's Shaley Rose and Nathan Witt.
Nathan Vita. All right. So Josie, played by Shaley Rose, if we're saying your name wrong, we very much apologize. You can write to us at whenkissmeansforever@gmail.com to tell us how you pronounce your name, because you obviously listen. Anyway, Josie is played by you, and you are the single lady in the group of four college friends. Emma is just a week away from marrying Ted. Athena is on the brink of engagement with Brian, played by Katie favorite Casey Manderson. And then there is Alex, played by Nathan Witt, the lone man of the group who is hopelessly in love with our girl Josie. But he is keeping that info to himself, thank you very much, as she does not feel the same way, we think, and losing her friendship would be worse, for sure.
So Josie is a big believer in the mystical, magical, superstitious ways of the world, I guess. She wishes on pennies when she throws them into fountains and shooting stars when she sees them in the sky. And she believes in magic and unicorns and strongly believes that a bouquet thrown by a bride always goes to the woman destined to be married next. In fact, she has anecdotal evidence that the bouquet finds who it is meant to find, which means Emma's bouquet will undoubtedly find Athena. Or will it?
Dun, 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 dun. So, dear lovely podcast listeners, you know that the bouquet found Josie. much to everybody's surprise. Ah, because, of course, it did. Did it make a mistake? She's not even seeing someone. But the bouquet always finds who it's meant to go to. This is such a dilemma. So she's not even dating someone. She's like freaking out. But here at the reception, there is a very nice, handsome guy named Will who chats up Josie. So maybe he's her perfect guy. And when he basically gives her the funding that her charity needs, she runs this not-for-profit and he shows up with some funding, Josie can't help but see him with rose-colored glasses and agrees to go on a date.
Alex, meanwhile, is heartbroken. Not only is Josie now dating someone, he doesn't get to hang out with her, he doesn't get to hang out with his best friend as much because she's, you know, busy going on dates. they don't get to do their, like, Alex and Josie thing that they do, which is often going to see movies in the park, which all here for it.
Totally.
So sad face, they're not doing their thing. So when they meet up for movie night, Josie suggests he start dating too and even makes him a dating profile. So fine, Alex will try his hardest to move on.
So meanwhile, Athena and Brian have gotten engaged and are trying to plan their wedding. Athena has some ideas, but they are immediately co-opted by Brian's mother, who unfortunately does get a real say because she has decided to pay for the whole thing. So we kind of, whatever she's planning goes, and Athena's like, ah! Nothing is what Athena wants, and she just wants to make Brian's mother happy, you know, make her in-law happy. Even if that does mean that she has to have her wedding at a country club without her backyard barbecue. Like, she's a simple girl, and mother-in-law wants the pomp, circumstance, princess party.
Now that Alex is dating, because he has found somebody he's kind of clicking with, Josie feels real weird about it. She's not sure why she's uncomfortable with the idea of him with somebody else, but she just is. Let's not look too hard at ourselves, Josie. he is her toy, and even though she isn't playing with him right now, she does not want to share.
Oh, yes. This is accurate.
But in an effort to get over it, Josie insists that she and Will and Alex and his new girl, Marissa, go on a double date. And Marissa immediately picks up that Alex is in love with Josie. Like, within minutes.
Yeah.
And after dinner, it's like, it's cool, Alex, it's fine, but, like, I'm not going to see you again because you're not available.
Right.
And Will, on the other hand, doesn't notice because he is too concerned with work to notice really anything.
Yes. Yes. So Josie keeps trying to convince herself that Will is her perfect guy, but she is struggling. Again, he's obsessed with work and it's starting to get super annoying. He brings her on a date, but it turns out it's a networking event, so it's not really a date. It's just kind of like, show up to the places where I'm working. Gross. He also does not believe in wishing or magic. He is not into classic films. And meanwhile, because Will is in the picture, Alex has started thinking about moving away because he's gotten a job offer in Chicago. Oh my God. So it's really hard to be around Josie falling for another guy, but he can't just bring himself to tell Josie that he's leaving because that would mean it's like forever gone.
Right. God forbid these people communicate with each other.
What is that? But don't tell me about it because that would be communicating.
So at the wedding shower for Athena and Brian, it accidentally comes out that Alex is moving because he's decided to take the job since he believes that Will and Josie are together forever. Shocked and hurt, understandably, Josie instantly realizes that the reason she feels the way she's been feeling is because she's in love with Alex.
Oh my gosh.
I love Alex. Josh.
Yay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Still one of my favorite moments of our entire friendship.
Yeah.
So she breaks up with Will, basically right then and there. And Athena has a breakdown at the party, forcing her to be honest with Brian and his mom about the wedding and her stress and the fact that she's, like, not getting anything that she wants. But surprisingly, I feel like this is sort of almost a new and noteworthy, Brian's mom is really cool about it. And is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I thought I was helping. I didn't mean to. And they agree to compromise on the wedding. And it means that they have to push the wedding back by 6 months. But, you know, Athena gets her barbecue, so...
Well, they also have to push it back because the venue got caught on fire.
The venue burned down. it had a very shameless moment of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for laughing, even though I know you didn't get the reference.
I'm sure it's funny. I know. Someday I'll watch it and I'll listen back to this episode and go, oh, that was hilarious. And I'm glad I will have laughed.
Their wedding venue burned down.
Oh. So before Alex leaves, he writes Josie a handwritten love letter as a grand romantic gesture. He addresses it, he stamps it, he seals it with a kiss, but then he throws it in the trash. He's like, maybe this is not worth it. But this is a movie where bouquets know the future and magic exists. So is it all that surprising that a gust of wind comes and takes it out of the garbage can and it's blown out of the trash right to the feet of the barista who waits on them all the time, who then kindly puts it in the mail? Is it all that surprising? Nah. Because it's a movie.
Josie is still really pissed at Alex about not telling her the truth about the job and moving. So she's being petty and doesn't want to go to his goodbye party. This is a child. Josie is a child.
I'm going to stay in my room.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means she's actually reads her mail when it arrives late at her desk. And there is this grand gesture love letter from Alex, so she rushes off to the party to stop Alex from leaving. But that was unnecessary, as Alex has realized that he just can't leave Josie. He can't go away. He has to stay. Yeah. And now, finally, they figured out that they are in love.
They are in love. He was also like, Chicago's windy, so I don't want to live there. But most importantly, you're not there, so... and so Josie and Alex get married. The bouquet was right. She did get married next because Athena's wedding was put on pause. Somehow these two people who were not even together when the bouquet was tossed have beat their engaged friends down the aisle. The bouquet does not lie. And so they kiss. And since one kiss means forever. These two will become more fodder for the bouquet lore. Plus, we saw them get married, so that must mean that they're in it for the long haul. Hooray! So, there are somewhat the fuck moments that go on. But not as many as I would have thought.
I hear that.
My biggest what the fuck, well, my first what the fuck that I want to talk about is, so I'm starting at the end.
Okay.
When he sends this love letter that is addressed and stamped and sealed with a kiss.
Yeah.
It's to her work office.
Yes.
So she gets it while she's at work. Great. Yes. But if I'm sending someone a grand gesture love letter, would I address it to their work address? Or to their home?
Katie, she doesn't have a home. We didn't see it. Oh, no, that's not true.
We do.
I'm so sorry. We definitely did see it.
We do see it because she's got those great votive candles.
Yeah, she lives with Athena. I don't know in that case. I thought, I just assumed it was like, we don't want to deal with having to find a set for this. But
that was kind of the biggest, like, wait, what moment for
me? That's insane. Also, speaking of the letter, I know this is a lot about me. the idea that you would stamp a letter and then decide to throw it out rather than try to save the stamp.
Oh, that is so real life. That is so real life. Well, yeah, for sure. I've definitely messed up on an ad. Like, I've stamped things and then, like, messed up on the address. I'm like, how do I do this?
Right. Like, I'm sure the number of times the postal system has gotten, like, letters with, like, something taped over something so that, like, the address is correct. Like, it must happen all the time.
Oh, it must. It sure must.
Because God forbid you're not wasting a fucking stamp. It's not happening. There's, even though they're not even, it's less about the money and more about, like, it's just a drag to go get stamps.
I know. That is so true. My next thing that I want to ask is, okay, so maybe you answered this, but maybe you didn't. This is a how does time work in the span of the bouquet lifetime, because the bouquet that Josie makes, she makes these bouquets, so she makes it for Emma, and it has a story. It has a really nice, like, symbolic story with each flower and the ribbon and blah blah blah. It's beautiful. I love the concept. I love it. However, so she presents this bouquet at a brunch where Emma's husband is moving in. Cool cohabitation. But then, like, then it's used at the wedding, and then it remains in Josie's kitchen when she catches it till the end of the movie.
Yes.
How long is this?
Flowers do not die.
They won't.
I don't know. Okay, I was so confused about the timelines in this movie. Because we start a week before Emma and Ted's wedding.
So it is a week
before. They do say it's a, like, they're getting married next week or something along those lines.
Okay.
So, like, that's a week, which that bouquet is a dead bouquet by the time the wedding.
It should happened. Be in, like, the a fridge or something if that's the case.
Yeah, like, what are they doing? So they go to this wedding. She talks to Will. Will gets her the funding by, like, Friday. I'm assuming the wedding is, like, a Saturday or Sunday. So, like, yeah. That's, like, another week. And then somehow Athena and Brian are going to get married 2 months later or something like that. But then also by the time Josie and Alex get married, they can still have an outdoor wedding.
Even though it was fall.
Even though
the beginning of this.
Yes. And they're beating their friends who were getting married
six months later. Uh-huh.
How does time work?
Well, I think in terms of, like, movie land stuff, you and I pay very close attention to, like, seasons and times of year of, like, and I feel like that's just something that we have to throw away and get over. Because if it's a fall movie, even they're getting married 6 months later, it's still going to be fall. Okay? Like, it's still going to be summer. It's still going to be Christmas if they get married. Doesn't matter when it is.
That's so true. Oh, but, you know, it's the kind of thing I was like, when are you planning these things? How are you planning these things?
Also, well, she already had the dress.
Well, she didn't buy the dress. She had to go buy the dress. But also, I know a little bit about wedding dresses. I watched Say Yes to the Dress.
Yeah.
You can't get a wedding dress made in 6 months. Would she take that one off the rack?
She might have. It seemed to fit her okay at the fitting that wasn't hers.
That's true. And it had pockets.
It had pockets. It's the correct reaction.
Yes.
It has pockets.
Yes, her reaction to the dress was very good. There was a few times in this movie where I was like, I'm really into that. That was one of them. The other one was when Brian referred to his joining the group as being boyfriended in.
I loved it.
And I was like, yes, that's exactly what you were. You were boyfriended in.
Mm-hmm. And that is an honor and a privilege, sir.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a friend circle like that, being boyfriended in.
One other what the fuck I want to talk about, which I'm not sure you noticed, but I rewound and watched a few times to make sure I was right. So she goes on her first date with Will on Saturday. They tell us it's Saturday. They also tell us that she meets up with Alex on Sunday to go see the movie. The only movie I remember them talking about specifically is The Philadelphia Story, and it wasn't The Philadelphia
Casablanca
Story.
She sees with Will. Philadelphia Story she sees with...
Okay.
No, Casablanca she sees with Alex. Philadelphia Story she sees
with
Will.
I guess they're at Casablanca. So Saturday, Sunday, two different days. Very important. She's wearing the same thing.
Oh, man. I didn't catch that. I'm so mad at me.
She's wearing the same dress. She's just put a scarf on for Alex.
Ay, 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 Hallmark people. You don't think we notice these things, but we do. Or at least Hannah do.
So.
Very good. Before we finish up what the fuck, I kind of want to verge into why that's fun version of this.
Okay.
Because some of the lines in this script, and I didn't look up who wrote this, so I apologize. They are so funny, and I don't know to what extent the actors were ad-libbing or whatever. Like, the line you kind of included in the synopsis where she's like, jury's still out on unicorns. And I thought that was, like, really funny.
That was good.
But there's an exchange between Josie and Alex where he's like, I have a surprise for you. And she's like, what is it? And he goes, do you not know how surprises work? I thought that was hilarious. But my favorite moment is a Casey Manderson moment where they're at the engagement party and he's bringing Athena a plate of food. And he goes, hey, look, I didn't eat it all before I gave it to you. And she goes, oh, how romantic. And I thought that was just, like, such a cute couple moment. And, like, thank you for not eating all of the plate of food that you wanted to bring me.
So I'm actually surprised because you want to know what else this person wrote?
Huh.
They wrote Falling in Love.
Oh, the Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Swept Up by Christmas, which, did you watch that one? That was the one with Lindy Booth.
Oh, no, I didn't. That was one I missed from this past season.
Yeah.
So this guy, so whoever wrote, I said guy, and that's bad.
It is a woman, Elizabeth Hackett.
So I'd say she's very good at writing side characters. Because I loved the New Zealand coffee owners in Falling in Love. They were amazing.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed the friend group in this movie. I thought they were kind of well written.
I like that too. She didn't create the story. She just wrote the teleplay.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I'm giving her the credit for what you're talking about, because if it's specific lines, it sounds like it's her.
I think that is fair. And thank you for looking that up.
Happy to. All right. So Hallmarks.
Hallmarks. The first one I wrote down is, she's taking a break from dating.
We have communication issues.
Yes. I have... So how long have you been in love with blank?
We have a picture that we see them take and then see up the picture that is definitely not the same picture.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
This one was not terrible. Okay. It was just a little bit off where, like, it's not like you can see the camera in the shot, which sometimes they do that, which is my absolute favorite.
It's the worst.
But it was just a little bit like, that's not the angle you took it from, but okay, fine.
Fair enough. Even though it's not Alex, but Josie and Will bump into each other, literally. So that was their meet cute. Adorable.
The wrong guy is really great on paper.
I think I stole that wording from you because that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. They touch hands when going into, like, popcorn bags. So that's, like, another cute moment of, like, oh, we accidentally touched each other.
We have uncomfortable about being jealous of their friend finding love.
That's a good one. Mom takes over the wedding planning.
Mm-hmm. That was my next one, too.
Yay!
And I said mother is taking over the wedding. Almost same wording. The next one I have is job or girl, you cannot have both.
This is so true. This is so true. We have another character saying, I always thought you guys would end up together. Or, I got a vibe from the two of you.
We have talking yourself into liking a guy.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Double date with the against the person you really love, a la Harry and Sally.
That's exactly where I was going with that, too.
Yay.
I didn't write any more down, but I feel like I have had one in my head, but whatever. Gotcha. It's fine. You can go now.
I only have two very quick ones.
Okay.
I have the not the people getting married acting out someone else's wedding. We get that kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Like pretending to be stand-ins. But then also my favorite, obnoxious colored red wine.
Fair.
Yes. That's it for me.
All right. Pretty parade?
Pretty parade. I have kind of a couple.
I have a couple as well.
So maybe we just go,
I can start.
Sure, yeah.
Ted and Emma's wedding. Full stop.
Yeah.
I thought it looked classy. It was like orange and purple fall feeling, but like not like tacky looking.
Yeah.
I thought her dress was beautiful.
It really was.
Like, I just thought... I thought the bridesmaids' dresses were really nice and fit really nicely. I thought the flowers, it looked really classy to me.
I am in full agreement with that. I didn't write that down, but I agree. My first one is, we mentioned in Athena and Josie's apartment, they've got these... It's such a basic look, but you know the geometric gold, like, shape votive things? It's such a look right now, but I am all about that look, and I, like, love them. I love it so much.
Okay. My other pretty parade was Josie's wedding dress. It's actually a wedding dress I like. I liked it better before she put a sparkly belt on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not a huge sparkly belt person because I don't really like beading or sparkles. I'm totally that, like, less is more.
Mm.
But I thought, like, I think it's technically a ball gown, what she has.
Ball gown.
Though it, like, kind of looks a little A-line. I'm not 100% sure, but, like.
I would say that's A-line based on my research.
But, like, again, it has pockets. It's, like, shiny, satiny. It doesn't... And it's not, like, over-embellished in a way that it looks terrible. It also looks real comfortable. Just not true of all wedding dresses.
Yep. Don't I know it. oddly enough, I didn't put that as my pretty parade, but I did put it as my new and noteworthy. So I'll put that here in that... New and noteworthy. It's a wedding dress I actually like. And I agree with you. I actually liked the sparkly belt, but I did prefer that dress before the sparkly belt because the bodice is so interesting and cool.
Yeah. It's very simple, but very, like...
Different.
Yeah. But, like, the other thing, I think, again, like, I thought Emma's wedding dress was beautiful. Like,
me too.
I think they did pretty well on the wedding dresses because the only wedding dress I didn't like was the one Athena put on and hated. Yeah. And
well, that was
ruined.
Pretty hateful. It was gross.
And that was sort of the point. So, yeah.
Yeah. The last pretty parade I was going to say is I loved the winery location. Like, that they use a couple of times in the movie. But I think the locations on this were just... It was a pretty looking film. Just kind of full stop.
Yeah. I agree.
Across the universe?
I don't have any.
Our love of pockets, I said, was one. But I have one.
Okay.
And I need to do some more research on it because I'm pretty sure, I can't remember if this is the movie that I was talking about or if this has been in other places. But When they come out of this French restaurant after their double date, Chez Royale or whatever, it's next to this place called the Tea House. And I love tea houses, so whenever I see it, I clock it. And this tea house has also been in the town of all of the Marrying Father Christmas movies. So it's definitely the same location, and I'm pretty sure I have seen the same tea house in other Hallmark movies. Now, it's not a big surprise that they're all filmed in the same places, but it was just, it's very, very obvious with that particular landmark. So that's...
I love it.
My Across the Universe.
Love it. So happy for that. Did you do all of your new and noteworthy, or did you have more?
The only other new and noteworthy, well, I had two other kind of new and noteworthies, so, like real fast, like you mentioned in the synopsis, it's nice to have a mother-in-law who is aware of her butting in. And then I have never noticed Canada trying to do a U.S. post office box before. And I thought it was very noteworthy.
Oh, wonderful. So I have a couple. So first of all, like, I feel like we need to, like, shout out to, like, new and noteworthy to appoint this cast. Because Hallmark likes to put people of the same race together, which I'm not against, but I'm also not for.
Right. Like, doesn't have to be that way.
Right. So Emma being Asian and Ted being black was just really nice to see them be a couple and be a happy, healthy, good couple. Because, yes, they're both people of color, but they're of different color, and that is exciting.
It is exciting.
So I just wanted to put that out there. The concept of Girlfriend's Day, I really enjoyed. It felt very Galentine's Day to me. And then the other thing is the B story, the Athena Bryan wedding story, felt bigger than most B stories in these movies.
I would agree. I felt like all of the side stories, because there's a kind of a couple little side stories, even with Emma, once they get married, she's having an existential crisis about, like, what she wants to do with her life, and she discovers she wants to be a wedding planner. I still felt like that was very strong, too, but without taking over the main storyline. I agree.
Yes. Yeah, I just thought they were very, like, the B story and the subsequent, they were just more fleshed out than a lot of the other
100%. Ones we see. I cared about these people, which is new and noteworthy.
Yes. Supporting shout out.
They didn't write anything down.
Okay. I said Emma because she is the Amy Santiago of the group. Do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? I guess you don't.
I don't. I'm sorry. I wish I was on that train with you, but I don't. Totally I don't fine. Know it.
Amy Santiago is the one who, like, you know, good at her job and wonderful character and funny and all of that. But also, like she loves organization and binders and, like, you know, like, she gets really excited when she can go to, like, a conference on how to, like, file things. And I feel like Emma is also that person.
In my heart, I am that person, but then I get too lazy to actually do the things.
Same.
Like, I love office supply stores and planners, but then I drop the ball.
I'm 100% with you.
Yay. Okay. Kiss meter.
I have a lot of feelings about this kiss.
So does that mean that you need to go first?
No. No, you can go first.
Because, okay. Well, okay, maybe this will help support your feelings about this kiss. Okay, so I gave it a 4 because while I am stanning this couple or shipping this couple or whatever these people say nowadays, their kiss was terrible. It was very tight-lipped. It was just two people who put their faces together and waited until the director said cut. Like, it was like they really didn't want to be kissing each other at all. So I was not about it.
I called it a very press your faces together type kiss.
It sure was.
So I was slightly nicer than that. I gave it a 5.
Okay.
Because I said there's nothing gross about it.
That's true. It's just a shame.
Yeah. But honestly, what bothered me even more is that the first kiss we get in this movie is not when they agree to be together. It's not when they get married. It's at the reception of their fucking wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I actually had to rewind. I had to rewind because I thought I had missed it at the altar.
Right?
Yeah. And I didn't. And I was like, surely that's not their only kiss in this movie. Oh,
yes,
it is.
What?
Very strange.
It was, I was like, if you're only going to show me one kiss, which I don't, like, I'm used to that. That's fine.
One kiss means forever.
That's not the one I wanted. I was willing to give you the wedding kiss, but I really wanted it outside of the coffee shop at the party kiss. That's when I wanted the kiss. That's when I should have had it. Thank you very much.
Although we would have been having the conversation of, while we really appreciate this kiss, all of their friends are watching.
Well, that's still true. They're at the wedding reception.
I guess, but then they're already together at that point.
Nah.
Hypothetically, they've been seeing them kiss for 2 months at least.
Maybe.
Or a year. We don't know.
No, it couldn't have been a year. She was the next one married, and Athena is
I know. Well, maybe they had a longer time being, like, you know, building the thing. Who knows? Anyway, plot full of holes. Yeah. But Hannah, could you, in a box, watch this movie?
Okay. So, what I said was, I like how diverse this is. And I like that the quote-unquote bad guys in this movie are not really bad guys. But I found the leads the most boring of the three couples. And so it's just sort of like an all-around meh about this movie.
Sure.
So, like, it's not... I don't feel strongly enough to be like, wait, this is active avoidance level. But I also don't know that this is actively go-seek-it-out level watch either. Like, it's not really offensive. It's just sort of there.
You know, it's funny because upon watching this for the second time for this podcast, I liked it a lot better watching it the second time than I did when we were tweeting it last year.
I think that I feel the same way, actually. I do like it better the second time.
But I do agree with you. While I loved her, I liked both of them, really. But I feel like they were both fun, but I felt like they needed more permission to be more fun.
Yeah.
It was kind of a strange, like they've seemed very stilted, but I was on the ride with them. And everyone else in the movie seems to be, like, having a good time and loving each other, and the scenery was gorgeous. And, I mean, I like the actor who played Will, but I thought he was a little bit boring, too. I feel like it's very slow-paced in some parts.
For a movie where... a ton happens.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
But I'm in agreement with you. Like, I think I would put this one back on and kind of go, oh, cute. Especially since, like, they're watching Philadelphia Story and they love old movies, which is kind of tropey, but whatever. I still like it. Okay. But yeah, it's fine. I'd say it's fine. Sure, watch it. Done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, thanks, everybody, for going on this journey with us. We will see you, I guess, like, next week for Christmas. We're about to jump into our We Go Weekly for Christmas
shenanigans. Hang on to your
Santa hats,
friends.
Oh, my God.
Santa hats,
Where
friends.
Did the time go? Ah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
It's birthday.
So let's, Everybody ready? We've got like a gazillion new Christmas movies to tweet and watch and all of that. And like only like a small portion of them are announced even as we record this. And like even the ones that are announced, I don't really know what they are. And
some of them
we do, but like some of them I'm like, I know this movie is coming, but I don't know when. And I don't know what anything is called, and everything is going to be renamed. And
right.
I feel like I'm not, nothing is coming from, like, official channels.
Shrouded in mystery.
So,
But where can they tweet along with us, Hannah?
You can always tweet along with us at one kiss means forever, where the one and the four are numerals. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram that we use that handle for.
And if you would like to send us your own wedding bouquet stories or pictures of your bouquet or any of your excitement about Christmas, you can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com, which is all spelled out like it is on our logo.
And thanks, as always, to Flint Pastures for our intro outro music. You can find his stuff on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And Merry Christmas!
Happy holidays. It's the first It's Christmas of the year. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.